All right, you've got it on KHUM. We're about 14 minutes after 9, and joining me here in the studio, we've got Matthew Marshall, the Executive Director of Redwood Coast Energy Authority.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in. So we're talking about community choice energy. So a lot of people have heard of it. A lot of people aren't sure what it is.
So it's we're launching in May, and it's a system that's enabled by state law where it allows local governments or a joint powers agency of local governments like Redwood Coast Energy Authority to take on the generation component of electricity service while maintaining the existing utility for us, PG&E, mm-hmm. for all the transmission, distribution, delivery of electricity, as well as customer billing, customer interface. And so from a customer standpoint, what it means is we're going to have lower rates, and we're going to have more renewable energy, and we're going to have most particularly local control of where our energy comes from. And while we're still maintaining the same reliable service for PG&E, and customers still just get one bill in the mail from PG&E, so there's really no impact on reliability or the services customers receive from a customer service standpoint, but we get to decide where the energy is coming from, which is going to bring in more renewable energy and lower rates.
So that was a big question a lot of people had. It was like, are we going to have like different bills? Do I have to sign up? What's going on? So it's still the same thing for you. Still get your PG&E bill. How does it lower the rates?
So we're going out, and you know, right now PG&E goes out and they own some power plants, but for the most part they go on the market and they buy power and they resell it to us. And so we're going to be doing that instead of PG&E, and by going out on the competitive market, we're able to get lower rates, which is consistent for most public agencies compared to for-profit investor-owned utilities. So municipal utilities like they have in Ukiah, Trinity County, those typically have lower rates as well. And that's been pretty consistent across the state and other community choice programs in Marin, Sonoma, Lancaster, San Francisco, that they've been able to have competitive rates while increasing the amount of renewable energy.
That's kind of interesting. So at my house, I create my own electricity, which then goes into the grid. I've got solar at my house. For folks like me who have solar, what does this mean?
It means that our offering is going to be a little bit better than what you get right now. So from the net metering standpoint, and this is, you know, if you're a solar customer, you know what that means. Mm-hmm. That's not changing, and you'll still be on whatever schedule you're on with PG&E. What will be changing is we'll have some enhancements. Most significantly, if you have overgeneration in your system, we'll actually pay a premium for that, and we'll let folks roll their credits forward. And so, you know, if you do have a system that's producing more than you're using, we'll give you a penny premium over the retail generation rate to buy that back from you and put it into our mix.
Because from what I understand it, and I just recently went onto solar, so I don't have a lot of experience with it, just in December. Is that the way it works is that at the end of the year when they do their true up, and that's the end of the fiscal year, however long, 1 year of you owning this system, they do a true up. And if you wind up generating more than you use, PG&E basically just calls it a wash.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I think they have a bit of a credit, but it's mm-hmm. it's you're basically kind of giving the power away. Whereas, right. and you know, and so it doesn't really incentivize you to say, hey, I've got enough roof space to actually put a little bit extra on. We want to, you know, give people the option of doing that and say, hey, we can roll that into our mix. We're also going to have another program that's called a feed-in tariff, where if somebody like a rancher wanted to put in, you know, a small wind project or a solar array, right. that we would buy that power from them at a competitive rate. And so, you know, it's a way to kind of encourage distributed, smaller scale community systems. And so we're going to have a few different programs that'll be focused on that.
So is it up to the individual owner of the house that's generating the wind or the solar to contact you to be part of this program?
Yeah, so as far as the way the whole program works, starting in May, we'll become the default provider for that generation piece of the bill. And so, like I said, everyone still just gets one bill in the mail from PG&E, but folks will transition over starting in May. And there's going to be mailers going out starting next week to everybody over the coming months, so, you know, notifying folks about that transition. If people want to, they can choose to opt out and stick with PG&E. our rates are going to be lower. So we're hoping people won't don't want to do that. We're going to have more renewable energy, and you know, we're not contracting for nuclear power. And so we're hopeful that people will want to participate. And then if people want to, you know, opt up, we're also going to have 100% renewable options. So let's say, you don't have the opportunity to put solar on your home. People can pay an extra penny per kilowatt hour and get 100% renewable energy.
Wow. That's kind of cool. And for those who are generating, such as myself, we just contacted you and said, we'd like to sell our power to you guys.
Yeah, so you guys, if for you as a residential customer, you wouldn't have to take any action. You're going to get a specific different mailer because you've got solar explaining this.
Right.
But so you'd just be automatically continued, under the same rate that you're on. And then just with, the new structure with us, if you wanted to do like a project on a ranch or something like that, then folks should reach out to us, and we'll have some more details for that, which would be a more complicated process.
Wow, kind of interesting. So there really isn't a lot to do for this. It's not like you have to sign up to be part of the community choice energy. It's going to be there. You can opt out if you want.
Yeah. So from a customer standpoint, it's really about as low maintenance and activity as you could have, in the sense that you don't have to take any action. You can choose to opt out if you want to. You can do that down the road. So there's really no risk from the customer standpoint. Again, PG&E is still responsible for reliability and the infrastructure. So on days like this, they're still the ones that are out there fixing the power lines, and we're thankful for them for that.
Yes.
And so really it's a pretty straightforward approach, and again it's not costing the community anything. It's actually going to save us a little bit on our bills. The rate savings we're shooting for and we're on track for is about $2 million a year countywide.
Wow.
In utility cost reductions, which is pretty substantial. You spread that across 60,000 customers, and for a residential customer, it's maybe a few bucks. It's not a lot on your individual bill, but it does add up, and so we're excited to be able to really focus on more renewable energy, and eventually, hopefully, building out more local renewable energy while keeping rates competitive.
Well, I'll tell you what, a few bucks, what I'm used to is, saying, this is only going to be a few bucks more, okay? Most people are not used to hearing, this is going to be a few bucks less.
Yeah, so it's nice to be able to say, hey, your bill's going to go down a little bit, and you don't have to do anything.
Right.
And again, if we, let's say we mess up 5 years from now, and our rates are going to be way higher, people can opt out then if they don't. So the choice always stays in the customer's hands. So
that's wonderful. That is pretty cool. Now, what do folks like PG&E think about these kinds of programs?
So, PG&E is required by law to be a good partner. So, and I would say, besides just them being required to not oppose it and be supportive and facilitate it, the local PG&E folks we work with, they're great. We have a good relationship with them. And so, we really look at them as partners. From a corporate standpoint, they don't actually make profit off of going out and buying electricity and reselling it. The state doesn't let them do that. Where they make their shareholder profits is on their infrastructure. And so, the part that they actually, make money off of for shareholders is maintaining and upgrading and owning and operating the power lines and the infrastructure. And so, it's a good hybrid where, they get to keep doing that part, but we get to decide where our power is coming from. And it's really taken off across the state. Marin was the first. And then Sonoma County was actually second. Mendocino's joining Sonoma's program, and San Francisco, City of Lancaster, Silicon Valley, it's really kind of taken off in the state, and it's in a few other states like Illinois as well. But the reason is kind of clear, because you can have competitive rates and more renewable energy and local control, and ultimately the customer has.
So this is just a state program. This is nothing. This is not a national thing.
So it is a state program. It does exist in other states, not in every other state. I think Illinois, Massachusetts, Ohio. There's about 1,000 of these community choice programs across the country. It's actually newer in California, and so that's where Marin was the first to kind of show that it could work here in California as well.
I'm actually kind of relieved that it's just a state program, not a federal one, because the current administration seems to be wanting to go towards less renewable, more towards coal. So
we'll have the local decision making over where our power is coming from. So that'll still stay. It'll be even more local, not just California, but here in Humboldt County, we'll get to make those choices ourselves.
Now, here in Humboldt County, there is a power plant. It's the former nuclear power plant. It's a gas-powered power plant right there on Humboldt Bay. A lot of people think that that's where most of our electricity comes from. Is that the case or no?
So it certainly does provide electricity to the community, and this is where it starts to get a little esoteric of how the grid operates. But the grid that, you know, we are all a part of in California is managed at a pretty high level by an entity called the California Independent System Operator. And so they work with all the power plants and all the, you know, providers, whether it's utilities or community choice programs, to basically make sure that everyone's lights are staying on. But the way that it kind of, the accounting is done is at this big kind of, you know, Northern California scale, like, swimming pool. And so, you know, everybody that's providing power, whether it's us or PG&E, we're paying somebody somewhere to put power into that big pool, and then you're taking out a comparable amount. And so, you know, which power plants are ramping up and down to make sure that, you know, when you flip the switch, the lights come on, is kind of a separate decision from who you're paying to put power into that pool for you. And it's like money in your bank account. You know, if you take $20 and put it in your, you know, drop it off at the bank, and then you go to an ATM somewhere else and take another $20 bill out, you're not getting your $20 bill, but you've got to have put that money in the bank to be able to take it out somewhere else. And again, that's managed.
It's a good analogy.
At a pretty high scale. So that's just, some people are like, oh, well, if we're getting, you know, we're going to be buying some wind, like, from Portland right. General Electric. And it's like, well, is that electron going to actually make it from Oregon all the way to,
not,
you know, my outlet? It's like, well, no, but you're paying them to put it into the pool, and then you're taking your part out of the pool. And, you know, nobody's putting stuff into that pool for free, and nobody's allowed to take it out for without paying. And so, it, you know, it's as real as the accounting of your bank account and, you know, going to an ATM.
That's a great analogy. And speaking of the infrastructure and the grid itself, some people have talked to me about this, and I don't really know a lot about it. Maybe you know more than I do, but about a smart grid or an enhanced grid, one that works better for multiple different generation sources, such as, you know, home solar. That could you explain what that is, and is that down the road?
Yeah, it is down the road, and, you know, and the trend, you know, with utilities and the grid overall is to really, you know, start to try to modernize it, because we're still kind of, you know, have the residual of the sort of old style where there's a big power plant and it's pushing stuff out in lines to all these customers, and it's kind of one directional centralized system. And increasingly, it's just becoming a lot more dynamic with distributed generation. Now there's, you know, batteries are a part of the mix, and storage, electric vehicles. And so the grid wasn't originally designed to kind of go both ways and really manage that kind of complexity. And so, you know, to PG&E's credit, that's something I think that they're committed to doing, is saying, hey, you know, in the future at some point, you're providing solar and then your neighbor's charging his car, and maybe it's, you know, timed so, you know, the car doesn't start drawing power until your system is producing, to maintain both that reliability that we kind of take for granted of just flipping a switch and having there be power whenever you want it, but then to also integrate those kind of distributed resources in a much more kind of organic approach, as opposed to sort of the centralized power plant system. And so, you know, that's one of the nice things about community choice energy, is that people often ask, well, is PG&E still going to make investments like that? And they get the same amount of money to upgrade infrastructure regardless of where, you know, you're buying your power from. And so the line item on there that says transmission distribution doesn't change with this. And so, you know, they're still going to be moving forward with that kind of modernization.
That's good to know. That is really good to know. And I think it's a good concern that people would have with regard to the infrastructure, because that's real important. We got to have that infrastructure.
Yeah, I'm a volunteer firefighter. Whenever I like get caught out for a down power line, I'm like, I'm glad PG&E is still, you know, they're the guys that come and, you know, and their crews do a really good job, you know.
Absolutely, they really do. And for those who aren't aware how it works with home generation, as I have, even if I continue to generate more power than I use, I still pay approximately just a little under $10 a month to hook into the grid, and that helps pay for the maintenance of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, it's part of the, even if you're generating all of your usage, there's still the grid's kind of helping serve as that resource that's keeping reliability. And then there's certain things that, you know, going forward, you know, like programs for low-income customers and things like that, you know, and that continues, by the way. So, you know, anyone who's on, like, CARE, for example, there's no change to that service. You still sign up through PG&E. It continues uninterrupted with Community Choice. So.
Fantastic. Well, it seems like there seems to be no downside. It seems like a real win for everybody.
Yeah, no, it's from a customer standpoint, you know, there's not any risk to the customer, because they can opt out at any time if something doesn't turn out as well as, you know, it sounds. And, you know, we're able to do it at a negative cost to the community. So,
yeah, as I said, it sounds like a real win. So people should just be looking for stuff in their mailbox in the next couple months?
Yeah. So starting next week, though, we're going to be coming out in batches. So folks will be getting a notification about the transmission to service and, you know, letting them know, hey, if you want to opt up to 100% renewable, you know, you can do that. And then folks can always, you know, go to our website and give us a call to learn more.
Fantastic. Well, Matthew, thanks for coming in and explaining all this. It's kind of exciting and just one of those rare cases where this is like, yes, there's going to be a slight change to your bill and it's going to be going down.
Yes, it's nice to be able to share that with folks.
Yeah, that's a real and having all this managed locally, a very cool thing. So I think a lot of folks should be excited about this. And again, with no downside, especially being able to just opt out if you just don't want to do that, or being able to opt into 100% renewable if you want to, be a little more socially conscious with your energy choices. Very cool. All right, Matthew, thanks again for coming in.
Yeah, thank you for having me.